Ian.
Dave.
Apex Adjacent, greatest automotive podcast in the known universe.
Thus and so, yes.
Yes. Also, I should say it is a automotive podcast where we have never shied away from discussing men's health, Ian, and our pro-vasectomy stance.
Okay, yes.
I mean, correct?
Yes, I'm sorry. You wrote in the talk abouts, oh boy, do I have an opener, and then now we're talking about vasectomy. So now I'm you could excuse me for being slightly on my guard because I don't know what's about to happen.
Ian, I had two insanely uncomfortable experiences today.
Oh no.
Okay.
What happened?
I'm not making any of this up. This is not for a joke or anything like that. I have had a couple little kind of health things come up in the past, a few things have kind of been getting worse over the last couple of years, right? This is not a bit, right?
Okay.
But it motivated me to kind of put a couple kind of connective, doctor's visits together, right? Check some stuff out. Everything is okay. Everything's all right. I'm okay.
Okay, good.
But I have to say, one of the uncomfortable things that I experienced today, compared to the other one, let me start with the lesser one. Okay. All right. I had a stranger's finger inside my anus.
Ooh.
Okay.
Now, how long before or after your doctor's visit was it?
So I was behind a Burger King and okay. A guy in a van said, hey, if you want some taffy, you gotta pay. No, I had my first prostate exam of my life today. It was incredibly uncomfortable. But I do also want to, my wife was like, oh, like, I feel so bad for you, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, first of all, are you kidding me? Like, what a man has to deal with like one person putting one finger one place does not even compare to anything a woman has to deal with on a monthly basis or anything with exams. Okay. Nobody's coming at me with an ice cold speculum, right? Yeah. Okay. So yeah. This is not a big complaint. It was uncomfortable. Right?
Yeah.
Did not enjoy it. This is the lesser of the two uncomfortable things today. Okay?
Okay.
All right. The more uncomfortable one, Ian.
I mean, I think I'm experiencing the more uncomfortable one right now.
Ian, I don't know. The second one, I saw a Tesla Cybertruck today.
I did too. That was going to be my thing.
You did too. So we both got anally probed today. We both were violated today, Ian. We were both fucking violated today.
I did too.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about this because I not only saw, I don't know if there's like an influencer in Denver who has one or some shit, but I saw it very briefly. I didn't have time to get a picture.
Yeah, me neither.
I had just picked up my kids from school. And so it was like up in that neighborhood in downtown. And there was four young men getting into it.
It
was street parked. And they all looked like they would definitely corner you at a party to talk about crypto. Like,
right.
It was four of them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Four mini Jordans Petersons.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Or Andrews Tates.
Yes, platinum members of the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yes, yes.
Whatever, okay. Club.
Yeah.
Yes.
Club.
Yeah, but it's so funny that you saw one. I wonder if it was the same one.
I don't know. It was probably around 6 p.m. today. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine was a couple hours earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, so like 20 miles north of you, so it's completely possible. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. And I would have taken the first thing 30 times over instead of seeing the Tesla Cybertruck.
Well, I was going to say, I thought it was going to look more bizarre in sort of the world than it did. And it, I don't know, it just looks a little weird.
I think that I kind of, I had a similar take. I think that, first of all, I think it looks dumb in person. I just think it looks dumb. And I think that, like, if it had a weird, like, scale to it where it was, like, really big, like, uncomfortably big, like, yeah, my physician's hands. No, like, there's nothing more humbling as a 46-year-old man than just having to do that in front of I'm going to say 30-ish-year-old woman. You know, yeah, but you know, hey, you know, your health is important. You can't let shit go, folks. Yeah.
So I'm sorry. So I want to talk about the Cybertruck.
Okay. Yeah. But first my prostate. Yeah.
First your prostate.
Sure.
Is everything okay?
Yes. 100%. Like not a bit. Everything is okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Everything is solidly okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, not a bit. Okay. You know, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Elon Musk is enough of a distraction.
Yes.
I don't want to also get distracted from my friends.
No. No, I appreciate it. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had some fucked up health stuff kind of happen in our orbit here in the neighborhood. You know, someone that lives close to us passed away suddenly, super young, stroke. And then, someone just, across the street from them, on the younger side too, super aggressive case of prostate cancer. And so, you know, like, you know, if you, you know, I'm too young. I'm 46 some odd years. I'm 46 and you should start getting prostate exams at 50. But I think that I had some symptoms that led me towards, being like, well, on the off chance, something's not right. I'm not letting my tuchus take me out, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, so, good on you for getting that figured out.
Well, I think that it's really important that people feel like that they are worth having themselves checked out, right? That it is that, like, you would be doing yourself and everyone that loves you a disservice if you didn't do something like that. And yes, so peace of mind is hard to come by in these times. And so, not every diagnosis or exam and stuff like that is going to turn out the way you want it to, but I'm thankful that this one or this series and this, you know, setting did. So, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in less good news, let's go back to the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
We're just massive tonal shifts between Cybertruck and prostate exams. I think maybe not that massive. Maybe it's a, I like what you've done here.
Yeah.
To draw a parallel.
Did I live up to the all caps lock opener I typed? Yeah. Okay.
Very funny.
Good.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
I will say that we
both saw it on the same day. That's fucking serendipitous. Yeah.
Right. That's so weird.
Yeah.
Also, Nico, my 9-year-old, who,
yes,
I've talked about before. He had a take about it
because he's very
into cars, and he saw it.
Okay,
and I was like, "Oh, hey, a Cybertruck!" And I don't think I've talked to him much about the Cybertruck.
Right, right. Or really like put spin on the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his take was because then we drove up to REI. To go, we were buying his younger brother a birthday present.
Okay.
And we got to REI and there was a Lucid there. And he's a big fan of Lucids.
Yeah.
And so we walked by the Lucid and he was like, oh man, Lucids are so cool. I was like, yeah, I know. They really are cool cars.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think the Cybertruck is trying to be cool.
Oh, damn.
And the Lucid is cool. And I was like, that is excellent.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's my 9-year-olds. And I feel like 9-year-olds are kind of the Cybertrucks, like that's kind of their core demographic, right? That's
who
they're targeting that at.
Essentially. Yeah. Yeah, mentally, like Elon's, like, you know, man child that he has in his head, right?
Right.
Yeah, that he tries to satiate by doing dumb shit like this, right? Yeah. You know, but
again, not a bit. My 9-year-old was like,
"Yeah,
I think the Cybertruck is trying too hard."
I love that.
And the Lucid is just cool.
That stings more than any automotive journalist could ever, like, ever subject their, like, marketing and design to.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't care what Camisa, Farah, or same level, Apex Adjacent has to say about this.
Right.
But fucking 9-year-olds are lighting us up on whatever social media that they're allowed to be on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called Minecraft.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's Minecraft or Roblox. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, they're just all griefing the person that made, like, a Cybertruck mod and is tootling around in it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just devastating.
Right? Oh, my God. Take down. Yeah. Uh-huh. Fatality.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 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 It just, like, you instantly.
Did you see it driving around, or was it parked? Yes.
I saw it moving. I saw it. Yeah. Okay. I was facing south at a stoplight. I was stopped. It went from east to west in the lane closest to me. I think I was only one car back in the stoplight, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, so I had a good view, you know. Yeah. Yeah, it was I don't know. Like, it's just like you see it and you're like, "Yep, that's a Cybertruck."
Mhm. Yeah, it was a little underwhelming, I think.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting, like, a bigger reaction viscerally. Like, I thought I was going to either be like, "Oh, actually that's cool as shit," or
No.
I didn't feel either of those things.
No. Yeah. I think that you're right. I think that it is that effect of, since we have kind of just perceived it through the lens of, like, other people doing YouTube reviews and stuff like that, that we have, that it seems like one of those things where, like, if you meet an actor and they're, like, way shorter than you thought that they would be, because on screen they have such a big presence, right? You know, I think it's kind of like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Right.
Good way, like, to put that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. The only, like, very famous person I've ever been in the presence of, I didn't even talk to them, was John Lithgow. And, like, he's 6'4". Like, he's as tall as I am. Like, he's a big dude. Yeah. So it was like, he lived up to, like, what you see on, like, the TV. So I haven't had that experience with anybody else, you know? Yeah.
Yeah,
like, you saw Todd Barry, but we all know Todd Barry is a small man, you know?
Well, and he was sitting.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
Sitting down.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't had very many celebrity encounters.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it seems like that thing where, like, you almost just feel kind of like, it's hard to feel anything, like, less than kind of, like, not necessarily deceived, but just like, like, that is just kind of a miss, right?
I think I felt more like,
Yeah.
There's that thing that I've been having to think about for the last however long.
Yeah, that was thrust upon us. Yeah.
It's not even that. Like, I'm just, like, exhausted by it at this point. You know, like, it's just, I'm just tired.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, I get it.
No.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Whereas the first time I saw, like, a GR Corolla, I was like, "Oh, fuck."
Dude, I saw one of those today too. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. I think it might be my first GR Corolla in the wild sighting.
Yeah. I've seen a couple and I'm always like, "Wait, is it?
Yeah. You're looking like the little thing on the side. Yeah. And the exhaust. Yeah.
And the exhaust. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you're right. Yeah. We're like, when you see it, you feel like you're seeing something special. And I think,
I think part of it is that it's a thing that is a secret for you, because you know that nobody else, everyone else around you sees a Corolla.
Right.
You know, or just a normal hatchback or whatever they see.
Right. But people tuned into the frequency. Right.
Right. And you know that you've spotted something that not everybody else knows about.
Right.
That's not nothing, right?
Right.
that's something. And but Cybertruck is just like, ah,
right.
Look at me.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And so actually Nico's sort of like,
he's kind of
nailed it, right?
Remove kinda. I'm going to suggest one edit to that sentence. Right.
Yeah.
No, it is very look at me. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a little try hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I mean, fits with that whole ethos of Elon reply guy and all that.
Right. So, yeah.
They are tryhards.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Wild. You know, there was something else that I saw a few days ago, and I was wondering if I could get your take on it. I don't know if you've seen one of these in person or not, but I would really be interested in seeing what you thought about it, if you've seen one, etc. So let me go ahead and pull up our folder here. And let me just show you what I saw on the street the other day. This is while I was driving down I-25, not too far away from where you are. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen one of those in person yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You talking about which one? You talk about the, this is a great two-car garage, to be honest.
Yeah. So tell the audio-only people what you see here. Yeah.
So
there's a reason it's cropped this way, I will say.
Okay. So there's a Maserati. What's the name of this?
MC20.
MC20,
yeah,
which is unbelievably cool.
Yeah,
mid-engine supercar, whatever. Yep. But then there's also an old Audi A8, I believe.
The 4.2. Right? I think that what was this one called? The D1 Audi A8. Yeah, like that was the model designation. Yeah,
I think that's right. But
yeah, D1 Audi A8. Yeah, D1 or D2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be D2.
Yeah.
But still.
Oh, yeah. It is a D2. Yep.
It's a D2.
Yeah.
Super cool. Big old Audis are just, they age so well. They look great.
Right? Man. Like, this is everything.
Don't love those wheels.
Yeah. I like the multi spokes that came with them. Like, I think towards the turn of the century. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
But those cars look so good, especially when they're clean like that,
right? Man. Yeah, yeah, it's very,
but as a two-car garage,
right? Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of it right?
Yeah,
you got all-wheel drive and space for the family, and then your fun supercar, like that's a classy ass two-car garage right there,
right? Yeah, yeah. Do you know anything stats wise about the MC20?
Not a Maserati. Ton. I mean, it's amazing. Carbon fiber tub.
Yep.
V6, right?
Yep. Yeah. 3.2 liter V6 or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it costs $240,000.
Super cool.
It looks amazing from the front. I had it in my rear view mirror for a while and it was cool to see. Like when I started rolling up on it, I was like, am I seeing a Porsche 918? Like for the first time in my life?
Oh,
right. A little bit of that, but like that as I could.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. It wasn't just the Fiat exhaust gas leak that was. I was in Luther. Yeah. It's got like scissor doors. Yeah. The Maserati MC20. Yeah. It's got 621 horsepower, 3 liter V6. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. The coupe starts at $240,000.
It looks really good in white as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Which is what I saw it in. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And the tax dodging Montana plates.
It does. It does. Yeah. And PETA and I were just talking about Audi A8s a little bit ago because we were talking about a potential car to replace Luther. And he was like, why not A8? And I was like, A8s are amazing cars. I would just be so worried about like what I'd have to maintain on it.
Like, for sure.
Yeah. The reason Lexus is the answer in that space is because there's so much I just don't have to think about.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I don't have amazing little Bang & Olufsen tweeters that pop up out of the dash when I start the car.
Right.
But
that don't work.
Yeah. But the car starts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 No, A8s are amazing. Yeah. I would love to have one as like
Are you thinking about replacing? Are you replacing Luther?
I'm thinking maybe I'll replace Luther in a few years with just another Lexus LS. I honestly think that I'm just going, like, for my daily, I think I'm just an LS guy now.
What about?
Oh, okay. Let me hear the intake. Okay.
As I fancily adjust my glasses. What about a Toyota Century?
Yeah. Yeah. That right? has been like something like I older, have actually thought but about.
More luxurious.
Right. Right. And still all the Toyota.
And still all the Toyota.
Yeah. I have actually thought about that. I've looked at Crowns and Centuries. Mm-hmm. I have actually looked them up online. So my browser history is full of purple links for that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the worry with that? Is it like transmission? Is it like that weird like three-speed?
Yeah.
Mass transmission?
I think that I only want more features as I kind of move through cars, right? So mm-hmm. As much as I loved my Infiniti M45, the 2006, it did not have like passenger lumbar adjustment, right?
Right.
And so like one of the things
wouldn't the Century have that sort of stuff?
Maybe, I don't know. But like, but just kind of like, you know, hear me out, right? Like, so my next kind of set of requirements, now that I have like that passenger seat adjustability, is I want passenger seat memory, right? Like I want saved positions for the passenger seat as well. Radar cruise control, you know, like I want like kind of this escalating set of features that I've kind of slowly wanted more and more of over time. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think I've been thinking about this a lot because of that. The thing we talked about last week, which was the New York Times or a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Yes. The New York Times Lexus thing. Nexus stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think maybe I have bought the newest car that I will buy.
You might ever buy in your entire life, right?
Unless, I mean, I'll probably get next family car will be an electric car. But for me, my yes. car.
Yeah.
I have a 2004. I don't think I'm ever going to own anything newer than that.
Yeah. I think you have some movement into like that 2008 to 12-ish space.
But not much past that.
Before, I mean, yeah, like before cellular modems were connected all the time, you know? Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to opt out of that because I think I can.
Yeah. No. So I'm not going to talk you out of that. Jesus. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I think if anything, I'm going to go backwards.
Yeah. And if anything, I think it kind of motivates like maybe you and I to kind of like collaborate on a build for you as your next fun car.
See, now we're talking.
Right? Because I mean, like, maybe like let's say like I don't know, maybe like a like an LS swapped Porsche that you got. You know, like or like a Porsche with a blown engine. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, like and mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people make kits for like LS swapping something like that. Or an LS swap third gen RX-7, right?
Yes. Or an RX-8, honestly. An RX-8 with an LS in it. Yeah. I saw one of those at High Plains.
Yeah.
And I have been thinking about it ever since.
Yeah. So I think that I would be so thrilled for you and I to kind of like work together on a build or something like that for your next like fun car.
Well, I appreciate you volunteering your garage space for 3 to 5 months.
Oh, no, we're talking probably a year. Yeah. Like 3 to 5 months. You remember that I got the Nugget in August, and that was just a head up rebuild, and it took me until December to get it running. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your HOA is going to love us.
You know, I honestly, Ian, I would be over the moon to do something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because then in the meantime, like in this neighborhood, it sucks, but like my wife and I don't want any like cars on the street or in the driveway like overnight, right? We just that's just us, right? Like if somebody stays for a night, totally cool, like that kind of stuff, but like ongoing, you know. So the thing is, you like my nugget would have to be your shop loaner, right?
Oh,
you know, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Or whatever I have at the time, which I assume is a nugget with probably a Dodge Dart motor inside of it, which is exactly the same. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, but yeah, I would love to do something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So well, keep that in your back pocket.
Hypotheticals with Dave and Ian.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then for your next family car, you have to let me build you a bagged B7, Passat. Yeah. A B7.5. Cause remember like maybe 6 months ago, I learned everything I could about bagged Passats. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just got a weird,
just a bout of insomnia.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, flying the Vaseline that I had to, yeah, just really dig into that. Yeah.
That's yep. Funny.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
I don't mean to move you along from this topic, yeah, which we've already moved way far from. But yeah, what is this on the thing? Because I'm very curious to know what I was right about. Because I'm seldom correct. So I want to know what I was right about. Dave wrote on the agenda for tonight, Ian was right, exclamation point. Ian was fucking right all along, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. God damn it, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Yep. Yep. So Ian, would you mind giving...
Expound.
I love leaving you cryptic notes in the talkabouts as like our form of like bullet points. The mystery's still alive, everybody. 8 years in. We're keeping it fresh. Yeah. Don't even need to bring in a third. Ian, give for anybody who doesn't know, and this very well may be somebody's first episode, especially because of something we're going to talk about later in the show, but this very well may be somebody's first episode. For first time listeners that have made it through all the butt stuff talk, would you mind telling people your kind of general view of the world and humanity at large?
I mean, what? Yeah, how long do I have?
No, it's something you say all the time, right? Like when we talked about the Tesla.
Things are dumb and getting dumber.
Uh-huh.
That we have like societal entropy. And if you don't input like leadership into it, that it will just become dumb and become dumber, and not even meaning that people are getting dumb, like not right, like that. That like our scandals are getting dumber,
right? The outcomes, like, the things that yes, we perceive, right? The results of people's actions,
right? Like things that we have solutions for,
right?
Readily available, we're just ignoring, which right, is the dumbest possible thing you can do. Right.
Right.
So that's what I mean by things are dumb, getting dumb, is that we have tools available. We have lots of tools available and we just don't use them.
Right.
For the dumbest possible reasons.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think about it often. I think about it often. And I thought about it today because I saw a vanity plate that our dear, dear friend Jesse sent us. And she was like, there's no way this could be a real vanity plate. There's no way. Please tell me it's not real. And so, Ian, I'm going to share it with you and I'm going to share it with the listeners. Nope, that's not it. Don't look, Ian. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. It's this one. Here you go. Here you go. It's this one here. Okay. This is a Corvette with a vanity plate that says...
Oh my God. I'm away TFYB to F your boy.
Yeah, it's on my way to fuck your bitch. Yeah. Yeah, it's internet slang for saying that you're going to have sex with someone's spouse.
Okay.
And of course, it's on a black C5 Corvette.
I also want to point out on this is the Z51.
ZS1, which is not ZS1? A real thing. Yeah, which I don't think is a real thing.
Well, they did make a Z51 package.
It looks there's like
a Z51 package.
I mean, I think this says ZS1. That's an S.
Yeah, that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
And they are definitely trying to represent like a Z06 or a ZR1. But that is not a real thing. The Z51 package is a real thing.
Right. Chevy Camaro. What? No, this is fucking Pinterest. Yeah. ZS1. Yeah. I don't think the ZS1 is a real thing. I mean, we could be wrong, but yeah. But I mean,
it could be.
That says ZS1. I mean, yeah. I don't think that's... It doesn't look like a 5 to me. It's close, but it looks more like a letter. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ian, I have news for you in that you are right. You are fucking right. Of course you are. God damn it. Because, yes, things are getting dumber. And I have proof. Ian, I have proof. Okay. Besides this plate, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we have seen a whole lot of very dumb vanity plates where we're like, how the fuck did that get through the DMV? Right. I think a lot of our listeners that send us plates, like I know our buddy Eric and a lot of other folks are like, how the fuck did this get through? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I'd like to tell everybody, you're not crazy. Yes, it is getting dumber. Turns out that in October of 2023 in Maine, an individual was denied a vanity plate, decided to sue, saying that they were take the DMV to court, saying that they were impeding the person's free speech.
Okay.
A federal judge ruled in their favor. And so I think that a lot of municipalities, DMVs, et cetera, are now kind of gun shy from worrying that they're going to get caught up in litigation if they deny a plate. So I think that this has kind of opened the floodgates for some things getting through.
I am not unsympathetic to that argument.
Right.
Of free speech. I think the idea of vanity plates in particular are just, I don't know why, like... It seems unnecessary. It feels like we could just sidestep this whole First Amendment issue by just not doing it.
Right.
But what was it about?
I know what the plate was, Ian. Let me pull it up here. I think the ACLU had a article on it. Let's see here. Nope. It was from 2003. I know.
2023.
Yeah, 2023. Yeah, I saw it on the ACLU's website. Let me see if my history syncs. I don't think it does. Yeah, now we're getting into weird stuff, my history. No, it tabs from other devices. No, it's because I don't sync tabs between devices. That always seemed like a weird thing to do. Yeah. So, yeah, so it was on the ACLU's website. It was an individual that had an electric vehicle, and they claimed they were an environmental enthusiast, and the license plate said FK gas, like fuck gas. Mm. They said that when they were plugging their car into the wall, their small child said, you know, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, we're charging it with electricity instead of gas. She's like, oh, it's like fake gas. And so he says that the license plate means fake gas, which you could have probably just spelled fake gas. And he agrees that it could be interpreted as fuck gas, but this is a real thing that happened. And a federal judge ruled in his favor that he gets to keep the plate for the time being. So yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that the US court system was used for such
important
work.
Right.
But I mean, that's sort of, I don't know, that's sort of what it is, right? Like, that's what constitutional questions come down to. It's just right. dumb shit.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here it is. Yeah. This is the article. I can put it in the YouTube description if anybody wants to lose some brain cells.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah. So maybe that, no, this is not the right article. Yeah. But
well, yeah, I'm of two minds of this because I very much am more sure. of a free speech absolutist than I think is fashionable on in our sort of political circles these days.
Sure, but there's yelling fire in a crowded theater, which this is not, right?
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But also, yeah. No, you're right. It's dumb.
Right. 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 And so like through the federal court system, we're learning from how many thousands of miles away that we don't want to be friends with this person. Right. Because if they just had a normal license plate or it was denied and they had some other kind of thing, we would know that we hate this person to our very core, but we do now.
Right. It's the equivalent of really thinking you have a clever joke, so repeating it over and over again, but then also having the resources to take it to the Supreme Court.
Yes, yes. Because when a Dave Letterman bit would die on the table, that's what he would usually do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Number six on the top 10 list not working this evening. Let's say it 400 more times.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But he's the only person who can get away with that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Everybody else, if you take it to the Supreme Court, it's fucking insufferable.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So Ian, this is now evidence-based journalism. We have legitimate outcomes that show that just things are dumber.
Yeah. I accept everybody's apology.
So there you go. Yeah. Yeah. And if it's your first show, welcome. Yeah. If you see dumb vanity plates, you can text them to us at 720-515-1391. We'll put them in a license plate game that we won't play on the show tonight, but listen to some others. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
What else we got?
You know, let's see here. So I have a slightly lesser dumb thing. Mm-hmm. That our buddy Eric saw, just real quick. It is a Kia Stinger, not a dumb car, right? I think the Kia Stingers mom plates, there's religious plates. Kia Stinger plates are like their own kind of like thing. This, you can't see the plate on this, but there is a thing about this car that you may have noticed, Ian.
Oh, I've noticed.
Yeah.
And I'm unhappy about it.
Right.
I'm guessing it's the extra chrome.
Well, there is that weird little extra chrome kicker that they're trying to kind of ape an M5, right?
Yeah. Which I don't appreciate because I don't believe these ever came with chrome
accents. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've seen that mod before.
Maybe they did come with chrome accents. I don't know. I've never seen one.
It's very out of place.
It looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it looks like the rest of the chrome part either fell off or that's the only part that you could find.
It looks weird. I don't care for that.
Yeah. Very incomplete. But there is something about this car that with some zoomies and enhances and thanks to Erica.
Is it this weird picture. Badge on the side?
What am I looking at? Yeah. The weird badge on the side. Does that shape kind of give you any echoes of like anything?
It looks out of place is all
like I maybe it should be on a GM product instead.
Oh my God. Is that from a Corvette?
Nope. Worse, I'd say. Okay. There's Zoomy one. Uh-huh. And here's Zoomy two, Ian. It's a it's a Buick Grand National badge.
It is.
It's a Grand.
At first, I thought it was a Stingray badge because for a while GM had the Manta Ray Stingray badge.
Yeah.
But then you did that first zoom, and I saw the little arrow and twirly turbo guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh shit!
Yep.
Somebody actually did it.
Somebody did it, folks.
That is hilarious. Yep. I mean, it's sort of a modern day Grand National.
V6 turbocharged four door. Sure. Yeah. But I think that this is that thing where, like, we saw that Honda Type R badge on a Hyundai Genesis coupe. Yeah. Right? Like, you have a cool ass car already.
Well, yes.
Right? Yes.
And again, who is that for? Like,
exactly.
Who thinks that a Korean automaker has something called the Grand National?
Right. Right.
Who doesn't already know what a Grand National is? Like,
yeah. The only thing that I think is worth it about this, like, Kia Stinger with a Grand Nat badge on the side, is that you'd be able to roll into, like, a muscle car show and piss the fuck out of some wingadingas.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and what's really funny about that, is that my first thought when I saw that the chrome, that fake-ass chrome looking vent is that I thought it looked like a Buick.
Okay. Yeah, just like weird chrome in weird places. Yeah.
Yes. And fake looking chrome.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very modern Buick. You could see that on a Regal, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
From the factory.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You see it on a LaCrosse. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right? It looks like a piece of Buick chrome.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
That is hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I do feel like I have seen some Kia Stingers with some questionable badging and all that sort of stuff.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that Kia Stinger owners have a weird chip on their shoulders about, like, I think they think that their car doesn't get enough respect, which I think is correct.
I do think that's correct as well. I think it's an underrated and overlooked vehicle. Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like spectacular or anything, but, like, it's not terrible and it's kind of cool for what it is.
It's the only car we've ever driven at any press event that gave me Viggen vibes. Ever.
It does have Viggen vibes, yes.
Right?
I wish
to the boost. Yeah.
I wish the suspension was a little better.
Yes, definitely. There is that. Yeah.
But other than that, it's a great car. It's a great car. But I do feel like the owners are a little like, it's like, and I've made this analogy before on the show, but, like, when I lived in Oklahoma, people would go real out of their way to tell me great things about Oklahoma.
Yes.
To where they would have to qualify. Like, yes. I remember there was one thing where somebody told me that they had the most coastline of any state in the U.S. And it's like, well, that's clearly not true.
Right, right.
And it turned out it was like man-made coastline.
Right, right.
And with like four other qualifiers.
Yeah, within a park system governed by municipalities by people named Brian.
Yes, exactly. Right. On a Tuesday.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Yes.
And you're like, well, just own what you have.
Right. We have a lot of cool reservoirs is a better way to say that.
Right? Or, like, yeah, we've done lots of cool engineering projects or whatever. Right. Like, there are cool ways to own the thing that you have.
Right, right.
Without trying too hard, which is, again, going back to the Cybertruck.
Right, right.
My 9-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think we could just really just sum up this whole show as in, as just trying too hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. So there you go. There's the Grand National Kia Stinger. But you're right. I think that the Kia Stinger, I don't know if it's middle child or youngest child kind of energy where, like, they have something to prove, right?
Right.
Yeah.
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 And it's like, just calm down. You're fine.
Right. You're good. You're awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
This makes it worse.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. Trying to dress it up, trying to zhuzh it up is worse. Like, when I see a Kia Stinger, I'm like, oh,
cool.
That's a cool car.
Yeah.
Cool choice. You could have bought an Accord.
Right. You could have done a bunch of other stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you do that, you could have done a lot of other stuff, including nothing.
Right. Right. That's the other thing. That's the other Ian lore on this show, is that is that so many times the best thing to do is nothing. And people have a real fucking hard time doing that.
Yeah. Just do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Ian Cannon for the show. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about my experience this last weekend because yes. It does tie into car culture a bit.
Okay. All right. So, yeah.
Is that I had an experience that was like tangential to what we experience at car meets and track days and that sort of stuff. I did the record show.
Yes.
With our buddy Mike.
Yeah.
The Rocky Mountain record show. It was so much fun.
Okay.
It was an experience a lot like you get at car meets where, at least for me, I always feel like, oh, I don't know that much about car. Like whenever I'm in the presence of car people, before I start talking to people, I'm always like, I don't know that much about cars. I'm a shit mechanic. Like all the things that I worry about.
Okay.
You know, okay. Kind of what I think about. But then you end up just standing around talking to people who are passionate about the same thing that you are.
Okay. Yeah.
For 2 days. And you're like, oh yeah, this is just fun.
Okay. Like,
people are excited to talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
Who knows some of the same things that they know.
Right. Right. That has like open ways of connecting. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. On the same like pathways, right? The same like, yeah, the same language, yeah. Right?
And it was great. Like, cause I just stood there while people leafed through my, so I brought like a small piece of my collection to sell.
Yep.
And Mike brought
I've sold the rest. You didn't see me at that booth down there. Everything was a dollar.
Mike brought a piece of his too. Uh-huh. And you know, people would like pause at a record.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd like you because they're flipping the.
That's the thing. The pause. Like at a car show, stopping in front of one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right.
And pulling up a record. Records, okay. It's, you're going through the bin and you pause at something and you're like, either you're like, what the fuck is that?
Right. Right.
Or you're like, ooh.
Ooh, you know? That.
Yeah. And so they'll take it out and look at it. And so I would see someone pause at something and I'd be like, oh, well, here's the story of like, where I bought it or, you know, why I am selling it or why I love this record or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. Like it was really fun, to just talk to other enthusiasts.
Yeah.
You know, just like you do at a car show.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a ton of fun. I'm excited to do it again next year. Maybe I've always been hesitant to sell things, my records, because I feel like once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
But the experience of selling them was so much fun that like now I'm like, well, what else can I?
Okay.
Yeah. It was more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Wow.
To sell stuff off, and I only have seller's remorse about a couple of records.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
There's I sold 30.
Oh, okay.
30 some records.
Uh-huh.
I had only brought 50.
Yeah.
I brought 55, I think, and I sold 35, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I sold quite a bit. I have seller's remorse about a couple.
Okay.
I sold a Love and Rockets record that I'm like, ooh, I'm going to miss that one.
Okay.
And then I sold a UK press of a Velvet Underground record that I really like.
Okay.
But I had two copies of it and I kept the repress, like a newer repress.
Okay.
And sold the more valuable UK press. And I'm now wondering if I should have done the opposite.
That seems like a weird move
cool cover and the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. That seems like a weird move for you to sell the OG one.
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, when I was packing the house and you know, cause we're kind of moving out and it was like, I was like, well, I've got to get rid of some stuff. And I went through that section first.
Okay.
And I was more aggressive with that section.
Oh, like things you have duplicates of, or like that genre? What's this?
No, that section of the alphabet. I started from that side of the room and moved to the other side of the room. Oh,
okay. You were much more motivated at the beginning. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I was like, oh, but I love this record towards the A's and B's. I was like,
you kept everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. That's hilarious that like it changed as you went. Yeah.
For sure.
Right to left. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So, okay. How many did you come home with?
I only traded. So there were things. This is a fun one. So my friend Mike, who we've talked about on the show before.
Yeah.
And I've featured as like our album the week before.
Yeah, Pop Sloppy. Yeah.
Yep. He and I do vinyl night together. He hosts it usually. He and I do this thing where we'll trade records sometimes. Uh-huh. And what usually happens is he is very motivated to trade.
Okay.
And I'm like, are you sure? Because this seems like a much better trade for me than it does for you. And he's like, yes, I don't need this. I want it out of my house.
Okay.
I don't want it anymore. Yep. And then almost every single time, bar once, because it's going to have to be pried from my cold dead hands, he ends up with the record back in his house.
No. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so he had a Sonny Rollins record, which is a little jazz record,
yeah,
right? He bought from Wax Trax here in Denver.
Yeah.
A legendary record store, and also same lineage as the legendary record label in Chicago, out of Chicago. He had bought this Sonny Rollins record for like $3 in 2003. Oh. And you know that because it has the sticker on it.
Yeah.
And they date their price tags.
Okay.
So he bought it for $3. He had traded me for that record for something in my collection a while back. I don't remember what it was. And I listened to it and I enjoyed it. And I was like, just kind of thinning out my jazz records. And I was like, well, this might be a good one to sell.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and I did some more research on it, and it turned out that it was an original US pressing of that.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was worth, you know, $50, $60.
Yeah.
And so I was selling it for 40.
Okay. Okay.
And he was like, ooh, I need that. And so he ended up trading that. That's how I ended up with the Roots record.
The Phrenology record. Yeah. Okay. The
Phrenology record.
Uh-huh.
So that's how that happened, was that I was trading him back this Sonny Rollins record, which turns out to be quite valuable.
Yeah.
Back. And so it was going back home.
I like that. That
was the story. But very full circle.
I like that. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And I also got a copy from him. I traded him something else. I don't remember what it was. Oh, an old prog rock record for music to love to make love to your old lady by.
The Lovage album. Yeah. Dan the Automator, Mike Patton. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Prince Paul. Yeah.
It's a really cool like blue colored vinyl repress, yep, which I am psyched about.
Yeah. That is a wonderful album. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Prince Paul. Prince Paul is the Kia Stinger of hip hop producers. Yeah,
I like that.
Well, actually, what is way more underrated than a Kia Stinger? Because Prince Paul is, I think, one of the most underrated individuals in hip hop of all time. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But yeah, amazing album. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
nice. Okay, well. Good job at the record show, Ian. Way to get rid of some stuff, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went well.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did you end up going on Sunday doing a second day?
We did. We did. Yeah. I had so much fun on Saturday. I was like, let's come back. And I ended up selling a ton of stuff on Sunday. Nice. And actually, we had people who came and found us on Sunday because they said their friend said that we had good stuff at good prices. Cause a lot of the other tables were selling stuff at like
outrageous Discogs plus prices. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was like, Mike was saying that he was looking, he was like, I'm hoping to find this particular Smith's record.
Okay.
That sure. He was missing from his collection. Yeah. And he found it at the record show for like $150.
Oh God.
Which was just like insane for a Smith's record.
First of all, you're going to be insanely sad because you're listening to the Smiths. Second of all, you're going to be even more sad because you're on $150. You're bucks. Broke.
Yeah. Yeah. So he ended up so I made a couple deals and then I went home and I bought it on Discogs for half price.
See, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Oh. Right. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. You went back the second day.
Yeah.
And great. I like that you guys had cachet. Like, yeah, you were the guy that somebody knew. Yeah. Yeah.
It was very funny to bring back to cars too, of like, there are like the subgenres, right?
Uh-huh.
Of like the people at the car meets who only hone in on like muscle cars or yes. whatever, yep. right? And I feel like the metal guys, mm-hmm. the metal people, the people who are fans of metal would yep. hone in if we put, so Mike had bought a stand.
Uh-huh.
And so we kind of rotated, kind of played with different combinations
to draw them in. Yeah.
We uh-huh. both have very eclectic collections.
Yeah.
And we tell people when they come up, like, oh, this is aggressively unsorted. So you're okay. going to
you're gonna have to look at everything. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
And so we were kind of playing with different things facing out.
Uh-huh.
And like the metal things in particular, people would like clock it.
Uh-huh.
And be like, well, now we got to check everything out.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Whereas I think the people with more eclectic tastes were just looking at everything. They were looking right. at.
Yeah.
They were it's looking
just overstimulated. At yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But there were definitely people who were like, I am going to look for one thing.
Yes.
There was a guy who came up and asked us if we had any Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, okay.
And he was wearing a Toad the Wet Sprocket t-shirt.
Okay. A and completist.
That was like
his thing.
His thing.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I can't help you.
Right.
But Godspeed, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a weird band to be as your favorite, to have as your favorite.
Shine on, you crazy diamond. Yeah.
Right? It'd be like, do you have a Ford Tempo?
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You're like, I respect it. I respect that you have a thing that you're passionate about, but her?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, yeah. We're not going to yuck anybody's yum, but hey, you do you. Tell the wet sprocket guy. I hope you find it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From working in the music store when I worked there, like, you know, 96 to 2000, I never heard a genre fan base talk about whether or not their genre was dead or not more than metal guys, right? They were concerned, like nobody else is concerned with the status, the longevity, the livelihood of their genre than metal guys, in my opinion.
Which is funny because that conversation has been happening for metal guys for like 40 years.
Yes, 40 years. Yes. No, you're exactly right. Right. But it shows like the navel gazing, like, and focus, which would draw like somebody clocking like one of your Black Sabbath LPs from across the room and then being just like, I'm going over here. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's metal that I love. I love the Sword. I love Red Fang. You know, like there's a lot of metal that lines up with a lot of folks, right? You know? Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I have a hard time with a lot of it, to be honest. But like,
yeah,
it is very funny that metal fans seem to be less, like, they seem to be less interested in like the unsorted sort of approach, right? Where there might be metal records hiding, and Mike actually had a handful of metal records.
Sure, sure.
Because he likes metal,
yeah.
But like, But other, I think fans of other music whose like primary genres might be something else, were more right. willing to kind of sort through things. And I think the same thing holds for Cars, right? Where I think like there are certain subcultures who are like, if you don't tell me that this is a muscle car meet, then I'm not going.
Right. Not to say that metal guys are muscle car guys, right? Yeah.
No.
But you're exactly right. Like that laser focus, right?
Right. Yeah. We're like, if there's a chance that there won't be a GTO there, then I'm not interested.
Right.
You know, like that's a weird way to go about it.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Because I feel like the discovery is the joy of it. Of
yeah.
Crate digging and
that's exactly why you go to things like this. This is exactly why there still are record stores, is because the joy of finding it in person. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Community and the like, joy of finding it.
What the fuck is this? I'm buying it. And then that first like.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Or like you know first, what like, it is and you're like, holy shit. In a new car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe I found it. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Ian. Do you have an album that is new to you that you picked up at the show that you is the album of the week, or do you have an album of the week ready for us?
I have an album of the week. It is not new.
Okay.
It is the first album by The Walkmen,
who's
a band that I love. I believe I've featured them before on album of the week, but I've kind of recently revisited their very first record, which is called Everyone Who Pretended to Like Me Is Gone.
Yeah.
From 2002.
Okay.
I feel like there should be justice for the Walkmen. Like they should have been the biggest band of this scene. They're the most like kind of adventurous, and I mean that album cover is amazing.
It is, yeah. Smoking cigarette, like, smoking children, yeah, like newsy looking kids.
There's a song in here called Wake Up that I have just been playing nonstop to myself. It's just such a banger. They just do like such weird shit with like syncopated pianos and all sorts of stuff when they were like 20 years old. So this album's awesome.
Okay. Just
classic indie rock revival sort of New York scene, even though they're from DC, but that's okay.
Okay.
Anyway, the Walkmen are the best.
No good music ever came out of DC. Yeah, certainly nothing in the rock genre.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Okay. Right on. Well, I will check this out. I could use a good rock album. Yeah.
Okay. It's a weird rock album. I will
That's okay. That. I'll get
it's
weird.
It's mellow in parts. But yeah, it's really great. And again, like Wake Up is awesome. We've Been Had is an amazing song.
Okay.
What's the other one that's really great on this one? They're Winning. The opening track is great too. It's a good album.
Nice, dude. Nice. Okay. Links to, I mean, did the Walkmen have a band camp? If they do, band camp, if it's a legit band camp, Apple Music, Spotify will be in the YouTube description to this album.
They're opening for Idols this.
Okay.
This summer in New York. So if you can make it, they're
wow.
They've been on the Walkmen have been on hiatus for like 10 years, and they did a bunch of reunion shows last year, which I got to go see one, and it was amazing. Nice. And they're still doing a couple, so if you have a chance to see them, yeah, they're great live.
Hell yeah. Nice, dude. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I love it. Very thankful when a band I like reunites, right?
Right. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
I hope they release a new album.
Absolutely. Nice, dude.
Willing it into existence.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, listen to that for sure. Texas vanity plates, Texas weird Kia Stinger plates. Yeah, 720-515-1391. Better yet, send them to Ian over on Instagram in the DMs. I would like to call out, when this episode drops, it's going to be the episode that is online, the most recent episode that that folks that are maybe coming to visit us because they heard you and I, Ian, on the Flag Time podcast.
Oh, is that coming out?
That's coming out. Yep. Yeah. Serrated was talking about how difficult I made it for him by providing audio, our own audio for us. But yeah, but it's going to sound great. I love what he does with the show. He's a great editor. So yeah, we were honored to be guests on the Flag Time podcast with Serrated and Sterling and Pixie. And we had a bananas time. Check out Flag Time, support their Patreon. I'm a member. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be the one that's on the Discord chopping it up with you Flag Time weirdos. Yeah. When you see, well,
thank you, and we're sorry for finding you this.
Yeah. If I just all caps drop Sob Vegan into the Discord for the Flag Time podcast, it's this dude right here. It's this guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah. Right. I like that you knew that we were going to get new listeners this week from a guest show. And you were like, I know. Let's open with prostate exam.
Yeah. Let's open with someone else's finger in my ass. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That was not ironic. I love that you did that. That's amazing.
Also, if you're concerned about your health at all, yeah, get checked.
Yeah.
So there you go. Everybody.
Yep. Text us your vanity plates.
Yeah.
Email us. We're on the socials, Apex Adjacent. You know how to do this.
Yeah.
Thank you. We love you. Goodbye.